Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
And here we go, Digital Adele back with another Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast for you with my co-host, Matt Hanifin. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing good, man. We finally actually have, like, players on teams, new players on teams that we can talk about. Specifically, rookies. New rookies.
We're going to have a new rookies-only segment again this year, which we're going to have every year, because that's how we roll around here. And I'm excited for it. I thought the draft was everything I thought it would be in terms of player movement, in terms of trades. Now, quite a few of them happened right before the draft, and then some happened during the draft. But also players that were picked higher than we expected. And
yeah, just a few.
And also some picks that absolutely didn't make any sense at all.
Well, I think part of that plays into that, though.
Yes.
They go hand in hand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what I want to do, we're just going to talk about each draft pick, and then, you know, I'll give a little bit about it, and then you can tell me your thoughts about it. It won't be very much. Just a few sentences each, or blurbs each. But before you do that, don't forget to like and subscribe. We are flying well over 7,000 subscribers now, streaming full steam ahead to 10,000. That's our next goal. So if you haven't liked and subscribed yet and you love to talk draft, this is the place to be. You can do that on YouTube. Also, we have our playback here, playback.tv/hoopsprofile and playback.tv/5RSN for our Miami Heat audience, where we watch all the Miami Heat games through as contributors to the Five Reasons Sports Network. Let's get right into it. The first round, rapid fire. The most shocking pick of the night, Cooper Flagg to the Dallas Mavericks. He is an all-world talent, man. I mean, he dominated college basketball statistically. Versatile, switchable defender. Does a little bit of everything for your offense as well. And just super high upside guy. No shocker there, rebuilding that Dallas Mavericks franchise after the Luka trade. What are your thoughts?
Obviously, Coop was the clear number one. They weren't going to trade it. We've kind of known that ever since they won the lottery. Nico Harrison still has work to do. He was the best player in college basketball. He wasn't even eligible to vote this last year, which is kind of crazy. Unbelievable defender, unbelievable offensive player, has, you know, great connective feel, improved as a shooter throughout conference play, exceptional rebounder, exceptional on and off ball defender. Like, he's the most complete prospect in this class, and I don't think it's that close.
Not at all. I don't think it's close either. And there's only really two things he needs to, I wouldn't say continue to work on, but two things that I would focus on if I was him, and that's his handle. He needs to continue improving that handle. And then he also needs to continue improving that 3-point shot. That's got to be the big thing. Even though he wasn't a poor 3-point shooter in college, If he continues to perfect that, his game is almost unguardable.
Yeah. And it's one of those weird things where it's like, I want to see him not improve. Like, I don't think he had like bad foot speed or anything like that on defense, but like, he's going to be guarding threes.
Right.
Just because of the context that he's in with, you know, PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford, who just signed an extension, Derek Lively, Anthony Davis. Like, there's a lot of mouths in that front court.
Yeah.
He kind of just adds to that. Like, in a perfect world, he'd be playing four most likely for you, you know, most of the time. But given the situation that Dallas is currently in, unless if they consolidate somewhere somehow, I don't think that's really going to happen all that frequently, barring injury, of course.
Right.
But like, so he's going to be guarding threes. And so I'm very interested to see how that goes. But like, am I worried about it? Not really.
No, I wouldn't say so.
But I'm fascinated by how that, you know, develops.
Absolutely. It's going to be something to watch for sure. And I think the whole NBA is going to be, you know, watching out for how he improves and, you know, what he does in his first year. The number two pick went to the San Antonio Spurs with Dylan Harper out of Rutgers. 6'6 point guard, super versatile, switchable defender, great point of attack defense. Gets downhill and finishes with authority. Playmaking could be a little bit better. 3-point shooting could be a lot better. That's my biggest gripe with Dylan Harper, but clearly the number two overall pick in this draft.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see how they make that work with Castle, he's going to need to improve his shot. He was awesome, but he's going to need to improve that his shot to make it work. Same with Harper.
Right.
Same with Fox, who dealt with like a finger injury for practically all of last season. Like, I think they can all coexist. I'm not too worried about it. You get the talent now and you figure it out later. But I'm very interested to see how they, you know, try to coexist together. I'm guessing we're going to be seeing a lot more of Castle off the ball than we did toward the tail end of last season after Fox got hurt. And right. In the sense that, like, he's excellent off the ball in terms of, like, a cutter. He knows how to move. He knows how to be a connected playmaker, all that stuff. So I'm not, like, worried about it or anything. But he's most importantly for him, he's going to need, you know, to knock down that shot. Same with Dylan. He's one of the better number two picks that we've had over, like, the last decade. I think this is a clear move for San Antonio. And now they just have to figure out. And, like, again, they have Wimby, they have all these other guys. So it's like, I'm not worried about it or anything like that. But Dylan Harper is going to be an excellent player for them, I think. And again, I'm fascinated to see how that backcourt kind of gels together over time.
Absolutely. And you make a great point about all of them fitting together. My thoughts on the fit is that they're going to lean into point of attack defense, playing passing lanes, get out and run on the break and play really fast.
Yeah.
And when you have somebody like Wimby behind you, you can take chances and get in those passing lanes and do a lot of different defensive things that allow you to excel even if your 3-point shooting isn't quite there. But speaking of defense, the Philadelphia 76ers drafted VJ Edgecombe out of Baylor, 6'5", almost 200 pounds, 193. But there's not a shred of fat on that guy's body. The most explosive player, I think, in this class, even though his measurables don't say he's the most explosive. Testing isn't always the same as in the games. I think for my money, because I view this class a little bit differently, I don't think it's a mistake to take VJ Edgecombe, but I think Trey Johnson just would have been a better fit because I think he has a chance to be super special with his work ethic and his shot making ability. But I know why they took him. VJ Edgecombe is super explosive, can get in the lane, get downhill, and put rim pressure for you. He can facilitate a little bit. He'll rebound for you. He's a dog defender, probably one of the best two-way players in the class. So I get the fit because with Maxey and McCain and Embiid still there, you need somebody that's not going to demand touches or take away touches from those guys. And he can definitely play and get his offense in other ways. It doesn't take the ball out of those guys' hands.
Yeah, they don't really have much point of attack defense.
No.
So it's like, I think this is the perfect fit. And again, to your point, he can play off ball. Like, it's not, obviously some of the on ball stuff throughout the year were, you know, not a necessarily concern, but like a question to see how he can develop that. But no, he's the most explosive player in this class. He is one of the best two way players, to your point. He might be the best two way player, or one of them.
One
outside
of them.
Cooper. I was going to say, like, Cooper's the best two-way player. So I had to take that back as soon as I said it. But VJ, he's super. The thing with him that I like is, like, just how he moves. Like, he has, I think, decent positional size. Not as small as we may have thought he was.
No, 6'5", 193.
Yeah, like, he's got, like, a good frame to him. I think he has, like, a good mindset, and the work ethic, I think, will be there for him. Right. I just think he will gel perfectly alongside Maxey. He can take pressure off of Maxey. He can take pressure off of McCain, who's coming off of a season-ending knee injury. Like, this is, I think, like a perfect fit, and I think he's going to fit beautifully over there.
Yeah, absolutely. The defensive stuff is what I find really exciting, and the ability to get out on the break with him, Maxey, and McCain at some point, I think that could be really intriguing as well, no matter how you mix that lineup together. Speaking of a guy who's a utility guy that can do a little bit of everything and does some things exceptional, and that's the Charlotte Hornets drafting Con Knipple from Duke. K2, a guy I've talked about a lot on this channel, a guy I think the average casual fan overlooked quite a bit. And when you look at his advanced numbers, I mean, you look at just his percentages. They are outrageous. I'm talking about over 40% from three, over 91% from the free throw line. Finishes very, very well in the paint. I looked this up for an article I'm writing where I do overdrafted or underdrafted. And I believe it was his effective field goal percentage was something like 59 or something like that. And so when you talk about a guy who can get in the lane and finish as well as shoot at that high of a level, it's just unreal the production this guy has. But also, he's no slouch defensively. Like, he'll rebound for you. He'll assist and facilitate. We always point to that game where Cooper Flagg went out with the ankle injury, and then, you know, Con Knipple was handling the ball, creating for others. He just does a lot of things for your team, not to mention the winning plays, like getting on the floor for loose balls and getting into passing lanes. He does all of it. And he's not a ball stopper either. He'll keep the ball moving.
They needed shooting more than anything, and he's the best shooter in the class, you could say. He's dead eye from literally everywhere on the floor. If you leave him open, he's a player where every time I think he shoots the ball, it's going in.
Yes.
Super repeatable motion. He can come off screen, zoom actions, all that stuff. You know, he's a two-footed athlete. He has pretty crafty footwork when he gets in the paint. He's not super explosive, like, vertically, but, like, he's not afraid of playing through your chest off 2 feet.
Not at all.
For him, like, he doesn't get great lift when he shoots, but he has never seen a defender in his life. Like, his contested three-point shooting is just as good as his open three-point shooting, or at least it feels like it, which is pretty crazy. Like, he's so dead eye from everywhere on the court. And that's something that Charlotte, again, needed as much as really anything. And I think
that releases quick too.
Yeah. And I think he'll be a good connective piece, you know, as long as LaMelo Ball's there, Brandon Miller, so on and so forth. But, good pick. I don't think we mocked him for.
No.
Did we mock him for?
No, we had him a little bit lower.
Buzz about that, you know, toward the end of the pre-draft process, among others. And it's just like, I think that's regardless of how you feel about Trey or Ace or whatever, I think that's still a fine pick at four if that's the route that you want to go.
Yeah, and it's another one of those things where, like we talked about before, he's not going to need the ball. He can do those things, but he doesn't need those things to be effective. He just played with five other NBA players at Duke.
Yeah.
So it's one of those scenarios where it's not necessary. Now, the next one is a little controversial. The Utah Jazz selected Ace Bailey from Rutgers. And it's not controversial because of the talent. It's controversial because Ace said he didn't want to go there. And there's all kind of smoke from his camp talking about they can do what they want, I'm going to do what I want, and all this stuff. And Danny Ainge picked him anyway.
He reported yesterday, so.
He did.
I think that's the best news that they could have possibly asked for, because, yeah, for a minute there, it was a little bit concerning. And absolutely. To a certain extent, it still is, but.
It's definitely a red flag, man. Again, he's a kid that said he had no weaknesses going into the combine. Interviews, he talked about how he doesn't have any flaws in his game and all that stuff, and then talks about, well, I only want to go to these teams, shut down workouts for Philadelphia, and it's kind of a mess. But like you said, the best outcome is he did report yesterday to the Utah Jazz. He is there, meet with the staff. Got some shots up at the gym. I saw videos of that. One of the best tough shot makers in the class. I mean, he could be a leading option on that team from day one. It's not like there's going to be anybody blocking him. And that was one of his other demands, is he wanted a path to be a star, which is, again, just mind boggling that was a statement his camp put out. but yeah, so Utah Jazz, Ace Bailey, great shot maker, 6'7". 7 foot wingspan, shockingly, only has a 34.5 inch vertical. Thought I would have been higher.
I mean, he's 6'10, so I don't know if that, like.
Well, he's 6'7. He's
or 6'7. He'll be 6'8, 6'9 with shoes, but yeah, 34.5 is fine.
You know,
for that size.
You making him taller after a full draft evaluation period where you shrunk him every single day is ironic.
I mean, hey, man, he reported to camp. I have to give him his credit.
That's right. He grows now that he reported to camp. At number six, I love this pick for the Washington Wizards. I think it's great value for where they got him.
Mm-hmm.
And for a team that needs a leader, because Jordan Poole, highest paid player on the team, was not a leader in any shape or form.
Mm-hmm.
And he's no longer in Washington. And this is the reason why. Because they picked Trey Johnson from Texas. Again, size, 6'4.5", 6'5", shooter. To me, the best tough shot maker in the entire draft. Best tough shot maker in the entire draft. Average 19, just under 19 points a game. Over 40% from three almost. Excellent foul shooter. I think there's more facilitation chops to uncover with him, especially with lower usage, because he was their whole offense. And the catch and shoots, man, where he V cuts off of screens or, you know, backs people down in the post and shoots turnaround fadeaways. This guy makes them all, and he makes them routinely. You put him with that young core. You got Sar, you got Bub Carrington, AJ Johnson, Bilal Coulibaly, Kayshon George. I love what they're cooking up in Washington, man.
Another team that desperately needed shooting. You get one of the best shooters in the class.
But he's more than that. That's the thing, too.
He is
the best shooter.
That's something they desperately need, especially since he'll be relegated to more of an off-ball role.
For sure. Absolutely. And to me, the leadership, though, at his age, like that young age, I think that leadership is, he's also one of the hardest workers in the entire class. Like the guy in an interview, to paraphrase, said he has no hobbies outside of basketball, listening to music, and talking to his friends. All he does is hoop. And you see that on the floor at Texas as a freshman. He led every huddle. He was the most vocal on the court. And he led them in by example. Never back down one game. The guy's amazing. It's a grazing, amazing pickup for the Washington Wizards. Jeremiah Fears to the New Orleans Pelicans from out of Oklahoma. Quick as a hiccup, walking paint touch, needs to work on his jump shot. Whenever you have CJ McCollum getting traded and then you have DeJounte Murray coming off on Achilles, it's a perfect fit for the Pelicans. You couldn't ask for a better fit.
I mean, I think you could have. We'll get to the other guy that could have possibly fit later in the draft. But the thing with Jerp, like, I'm very interested to see, like, I think I'm lower on this than you are after the Jordan Poole trade. because that defensive backcourt is going to be a nightmare.
Oh, they're not defending anybody.
The only positive, I mean, again, we'll get to what they did after that, which was very reprehensible. But the fact that they, like, their only, like, somewhat positive defender on the floor is Herb Jones. I mean, I guess you could throw Misi in there too, maybe. I still think there's room to grow there. But, like, Herb Jones is going to be... he's going to have to do everything on that end for them defensively.
He's going to be like Bam Adebayo in Miami, where he's literally covering for everyone.
It might be even worse. Like, it... I like Jeremiah in the sense that, like, I still obviously, like, he improved throughout the tail end of last season. The finishing around the rim wasn't good, but he's very, like, crafty in his ability to get to the rim. You know, I think he can create advantages in that way. I think the questions then, you know, arise when it's like, all right, what is he going to do with those advantages? I think he did a better job with the processing the second half of, you know, last season.
Definitely.
I still wonder what the shooting looks like. Maybe that's improved in an off-ball role, because it's like, you know, Zion's going to have the ball in his hands. Maybe, you know, DeJounte once he gets back. But I think that's still, like, a concern about what he does, like, as, like, a catch-and-shoot shooter, and, like, how he creates advantages, like, on second-side actions that way. I don't know. I think this is more of, like, you're swinging for upside, which is fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with that, you know, top seven pick. But I thought there was another player that would have fit just a little bit better.
Yeah, no, I get it. I see their vision, though. You got a pick and roll player.
Yeah.
With Misi, and Misi's a rim running big, that's athletic and get on top of the rim. Zion can get on top of the rim. And if they can get out and run with Herb Jones, and if he stays there, him and Trey Murphy and all that, like, they may have something offensively.
Yeah.
Defensively, not so much.
It's just going to take time. It's just going to take time offensively.
Yeah, I agree.
For him to like really find his role and, you know, succeed.
Because he
reclassified. Like,
yeah, he's super young.
Yeah.
Super young. I agree. But speaking of needing time, number eight, in the Brooklyn Nets select Jaeger Demean.
Do we want to just lump Brooklyn in together? Because they pretty much drafted everyone at the same position, doing the same thing. Like, outside of Drake Powell, I mean, obviously not necessarily Danny Wolfe's not a guard, but he's going to do the same thing that everyone else on that roster is doing.
Like, Wolfe may be a guard. We don't know.
Yeah, like, I honestly didn't expect Jaeger to be a top eight pick.
Definitely not.
I had him that high. I think I had him like 22, 23 on my board.
It's unbelievable to take him that high with other players that are available, because they need everything on that team.
Yeah.
And his lack of vertical athleticism is troubling. His lack of physicality is very troubling. His shooting is troubling. There's a lot of problems there. And I'm not saying he can't be a good player. He's going to need time. And so we'll lump Brooklyn all together, because they had one of the most baffling drafts out of the entire thing.
And they used all five of their picks.
All five of their picks.
And, like, the thing with Jaeger is, like, he's not, to your point, he's not an advantage exploiter.
No.
Like, I just don't know how he's consistently creating advantages. He can pass. He's a super skilled passer, but it's, you have to create the advantages if you're going to be in a lead guard role. And they have a ton of players who are in a lead guard role, which is, and none of them who are really that good off ball. So it's like kind of a concern in that way.
No, I completely agree with you. I mean, the Nets taking Jaeger at eight, and then the Nets taking at 19 Nolan Torre, and then the Nets taking Where's the next one? Hold on.
It was Drake Powell, then it's Ben Seraph, then Danny Wolf.
Oh, he got traded to the Nets, though. Okay. Yes. Drake Powell went 22nd, got traded to the Nets out of North Carolina, who's also a guard, but he's not a point guard. So slight different there. Can't really shoot. He's not a great shooter. Defensive specialist is the way we'll put Drake Powell. A lot of upside to try to work with. But then you have Ben Seraph, played in Germany. We love Ben Seraph on this channel. We've talked about him a lot, but also cannot shoot.
Yeah, the percentages weren't. I think off the catch was so much better than the pull-up jump shooting was just bad.
I mean, he's got a lot of mechanical things to work on with his jump shot. I think it is correctable, but it's not going to be year one. And then at 27, they took Danny Wolf. So you have Jaeger, Chirure, Powell, Seraph, Danny Wolf, all guys that need the ball. They all need the ball in their hand to be able to be effective and facilitate. None of them are great shooters. Nolan Torreira, I have people in my mentions talking about he scored 41 points in an under 18 game. Guys, why do we reference like high school type tape when we have more recent tape? Like, I just don't understand why people do that. So their draft literally doesn't make any sense. I can't make heads or tails of it. It's probably the worst draft that out of 2025, it's the worst draft out of anybody.
There's one team that I would put up close.
They're close, but I don't think they're worse.
We'll talk about it.
Because the Nets at 36 then take another guard.
Who would they take? I forgot.
Adu Thoreau.
That he got traded to the Lakers.
Oh, and he's a wing. Traded to the Lakers. I mean, I don't. I see him more of as a two guard than a wing. He can't shoot, but he can play both spots. In my opinion, he can play the two and the three.
Sure,
but I get it. I guess they still aren't off the hook. Their draft was bad, bad.
Oh yeah, no, it was still bad. There's one team who I think kind of put themselves in a bigger hole than they could have.
Well, speaking of bad. Masai Ujiri out in Toronto talked his way into staying for the draft. I don't know if he pulled the strings, but he talked his way into staying for the draft. And on his way out at number 9, he selected the 6'7 big man, Colin Murray Boyles from South Carolina. Quote unquote big man, because he's 6'7.
They're going to play him at small ball 5 for stretches, and it's going to be funny because I don't know how that's going to go.
But they already have Mogbo as well.
Correct.
Is he going to be a wing?
I think Colin Murray Boyles is like slightly better than Mogbo, like right now, but it's still
Hold on. You said what?
He's slightly better than Mogbo right now.
And he went 9th overall?
Where am I justifying it? I'm not justifying it.
I'm not saying you're justifying it. I'm talking about how baffling the pick is.
Oh yeah, yeah. It wasn't good.
It just doesn't make it, it like blows my mind. You just said he's slightly better.
And than I like
second
Mogbo.
Round pick. Yeah, we both liked Mogbo last year. Yeah, we both liked Mogbo, but we didn't like him 9th overall. In a weaker class, so to speak, quote unquote.
He's also, Colin Murray Boyles, to be fair, is also like, what, 2 or 3 years younger, so.
But we're talking about a 9th overall pick here.
Yeah.
How's Colin Murray Boyles shooting?
Next question.
Is he a center or a forward? What is he?
That's the, I'll have Darko answer that question for you.
Number 10, the Rockets draft Kaman Malawach and promptly gets traded to the Phoenix Suns. Great pick for the Suns. I like it. Perfect. Rim running big, block shots.
The Suns were one of my winners.
Oh, definitely.
They did good work, man. They got two centers. They got Malawach and Mark Williams and they got Rashear Fleming, who we'll talk about, but No, nah, man, this is they did great work with this. I'm surprised he kind of fell past 10. Or not 210, past 10, but 210.
210. No, I get it. No worries. Kind of in the same spot that Derek Lively went. Ryan, the good friend of our show. Be like Ryan. Like, subscribe, send power chats like Ryan. Super chats, they're called on YouTube. He says he's a medium forward.
Talking about Murray Boyles.
Yeah, call him Murray Boyles. No, I love what the Suns did in regards to getting fixing their size problem. They definitely had a problem with they've been looking for a big man for years, and Kaman Malawach really feels that. And I believe there's enough 3-point shooting for him to eventually become a threat on the outside to be able to fit that style that they want to play also. So I really do like what the Suns did in the draft. So number 11, the Blazers traded this pick to the Grizzlies and get Cedric Cowherd. Cedric Cowherd, man.
What'd you say?
Cedric Cowherd, 11th overall. What are your thoughts, Matt?
They had to leave. I think the reports were that there was a lot of smoke about him possibly going to San Antonio at 14. Mm-hmm. So Memphis had to leap. I think this is like a good move for them, in the sense that, like, you know, he's what, 6'6 with a 7'2 wingspan, can shoot the heck out of it.
Right.
Really crafty. Like, he has like a legit back to the basket game that
I
think I like. He's got good footwork. I think he's a solid defender. The ball handling's like decent. It's not great. It's not terrible. But I think that like Memphis usually hits on this stuff. And so I trust their thought process when it comes to like, you know, getting these types of guys who are like quite rangy. Not a super great athlete, but I think he's a good athlete.
He's a good athlete. Yeah. And yeah, I agree with the back to basket game. I just wonder how much that's going to translate at the NBA level, because
I think it will against smaller guards. Like, I think if you get him in a mismatch somewhere, I think he can like take advantage of that. Like, he's got like wiry strength to him.
Yeah, no doubt. I agree with that. Let me ask you this. Does he play shooting guard or wing? Because he can definitely do both.
I was going to say, I think he can do either.
I think he can do both. The 3-point shooting's real. His shot form is excellent. Like, he can really shoot the heck out of the ball. I disagree with you on his ball handling. I think his ball handling's bad for the NBA level. For the college level, it was okay. It was really bad prior to him getting to Washington State. It got a little bit better, but I think it's pretty poor. I think he's going to struggle with that. I think that's his biggest area of opportunity.
Sure.
Is his ball handling. The Chicago Bulls, another one where I'm kind of baffled. They took Noah Osungay from Ulam, Ben Sarif's teammate, 12th overall. Good on the offensive glass, got a nose for the ball, 6'10", a little bit of an athlete. I don't think he's as good of an athlete as everybody's making him out to be. He is mobile, like he can navigate, but doesn't have a great handle. His jump shooting isn't great. Definitely not strong enough. He's going to really have to get in the weight room. I don't see him playing the wing with that skill set. So he's going to have to play down low, but he's not strong enough. So that means he's probably going to be an ineffective player for you for a year or two until he can get some man strength. What are your thoughts on him going 12th overall?
This is a project and a half.
Yeah.
Chicago, they stepped into the batter's box and they took a hack, let me tell you. They took a swing. Like, it's just weird. Like, Patrick Williams is there. Like,
right.
And that's also, it just kind of reminds me of that. Like, this is.
And there's better bigs that were on the board.
Well, there were bigs on the board that they could have
better taken. Bigs on the board, in my opinion.
This is just a weird one. I don't think I like this for them. Like, Buzelis is there. Like, it.
I don't like it for them.
No, I know.
Don't. Yeah, I don't. I definitely don't. The Atlanta Hawks drafted Queen to trade him to the Pelicans. The Pelicans now have Derek Queen, Misi, and Zion. What are they doing, dude?
This is my team for who had the worst draft.
I still have Brooklyn, but Pelicans are up there. I don't get this fit at all. You know, it's really...
It's not even about getting Queen. I mean, yeah, he doesn't fit. They traded their 26th pick. Like, to move up 10 spots.
Yeah.
This team is not good.
No. No, they're not. And one thing I wanted to ask you, with Derek Queen, can he play next to Misi?
No.
Can he play next to Zion?
No.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Then what are we doing?
I agree. Like, I mean, I think there's a, it's more, it's a, there's a more feasible path for him playing next to Misi than Zion.
Yeah.
But the answer is no.
All right. Let me tell the story from his press conference. I don't know if you heard this one. At his press conference with him and his other fellow draft picks, he said, "I'm the best player in this class. All the other guys try to say they are, but I beat them all in college and I'm going to do it again." And this is the other players at the table with him, including somebody that was picked 7th overall, Jeremiah Fears. How would you feel about that if you were Jeremiah Fears?
I respect your confidence, but
yeah.
Let's play me one-on-one. We'll go out back.
I don't know. That's an interesting one. How does that go? Because Fears is quite small. Queen is quite large in a sense. 6'10".
Scoring on it, there'd be zero stops.
Nobody's shooting threes. Right. And zero stops.
Whoever's the last person to get the ball, I think wins.
That's right. Whoever misses a layup first.
Yeah.
The Spurs at 14, a little surprising to me with Thomas Sorber on the board, took Carter Bryant. Carter Bryant's a project. He's a wing, very athletic, improving shooting numbers as the year went on. Great switchable defensive piece, but cannot dribble.
Yeah.
How do you feel about
him? He doesn't
need
to in this context.
No, not with Fox, Castle, Dylan Harper.
Wemby,
that's right. Now, he definitely doesn't need to. Do you think he gets a lot of playing time this year?
It depends on what they do with Sohan. It depends on what they do with Harrison Barnes, whose contract is expiring.
And Vassell.
I think he could. Regardless of Vassell there, I think he'll play. But
see, I disagree with that because of the shooting. Like, the three-point shooting from Vassell is very valuable off the bench for that team, because they don't have a lot of three-point shooting.
Well, isn't Vassell starting?
Well, he was, but I mean, if Harper's there, I don't see how that's going to happen.
It's got to be some combination of, I think, because Harper, I think, would be the odd man out.
I think all three of them are going to start.
I don't know about that. I don't think I'd like that if I'm San Antonio.
I get it. but he's your number two overall pick. I mean, he could come off the bench, but I think even if he comes off the bench for large stretches of the game, I expect to see all three of them out there.
Oh, sure. Yeah, sure. I don't disagree with that. I would just rather have, if I'm trying to space around Wemby, it'd be some combination of.
Well, like, but Wemby is the space. Like, he's the spacer.
It'd be two. Well, you still want additional shooting. Like,
sure. No, I agree.
It'd be, I think, at least two, or I think it'd be only two of Harper, Fox, Castle starting. Actually, it might be Fox and Harper who starts together, but then you'd have Vassell, Barnes, and Wemby.
I don't see any scenario Castle goes to the bench to start. I mean, I don't. Not in year two. I really don't.
Maybe. It's got to be someone. I don't think, again, it's
got to be someone
good enough to start.
But this is why I said all three of them are probably going to be on the floor at the same time. But number 15. Point. Now, this one, guys, the 15th overall pick makes me sick to my stomach. Physically ill. And not because I don't like it, it's because I love it. But it's for who he went to. He went to the Oklahoma City Thunder. You're reigning NBA champions. The rich get richer by a lot. Thomas Sorber out of Georgetown, 6'10", outstanding center. Best hands in the class, strongest hands in the class. Great around the rim, great feel for the game, better facilitator than people realize. Excellent rebounder, excellent shot blocker. My God, this Oklahoma City Thunder team is a machine.
That dang Presti, man. No, this is one of my favorite picks in the draft.
Unbelievable. Insane value.
He doesn't have to do anything right away. I don't know. I mean, they just re-signed Jalen Williams this morning.
They did.
Not J-Dub.
And traded Dylan Jones.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about just from like a positional standpoint.
Oh, yeah. No, I understand.
Yeah. And so, like, I don't know how much run Sorber actually gets year one.
Right. Because Hartenstein's there.
Yeah. But, like, this is a very good developmental spot for him. If they need to fine tune anything, the shooting,
Right. Like, Chet's still there.
Yeah. He doesn't have a lot of pressure on him to play, even though, like,
but him and Obviously, Chet can play minutes side by side, though, because Chet can space.
Yeah, sure. I'm just talking about behind Hartenstein and Jay.
Right. No, I agree. My question is, if he goes to another team, I think he plays big minutes right away. It's just where he landed.
For sure. No, exactly.
Another baffling pick.
This one actually makes me sick to my stomach.
Another baffling pick at 16. The Grizzlies trade Hanson Young to the Trailblazers. What is Joe Cronin doing?
This was the pick they got because they were at 11.
Right.
This is crazy, dude. And not in a good way.
I like Hanson Young.
I don't.
A developmental prospect, his offense is outstanding. His defense is non-existent. And his strength isn't there to rebound.
Well, right. That more so like, I like the only reason why I like the offense is because of the passing and some of the skill that he can have with the ball in his hands. Correct. Other than that, he can't shoot.
And he can't jump.
He was a bad shooter. He can't jump. Doesn't run the floor well. Awful defensively. Like, I don't know you have 17 centers. Why are you going this way?
Yeah, I really don't understand, man. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I can't wrap my brain conceptually around it. At 16 in the second round, I'm like, oh, that's a good pick for somebody. 16. I can't see it, man. Number 17, the Wolves get Joan Behringer. This I like. Developmental prospect. One of the best shot blockers and rebounders in the draft. As a young player, only been playing ball for 3 years. Like Misi. And he has a frame that I think can really support some muscle mass. So I think he's really going to develop. He's going to be behind Nas And who's the other center they
Gobert.
Have? Gobert. Oh, that's right. The Frenchman. Number 18 gets traded to the Jazz to scoop the Miami Heat. Danny Ainge takes Walter Clayton Jr. How do you think that's going to work out?
I don't hate Walter Clayton Jr. in this context. They traded Colin Sexton right before we started recording.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't. I wonder also what they do with Clarkson.
He's gone. I think he's gone.
Me too. Me too. But they've been, you know, dangling that fruit for a while. I don't know if anyone's going to come and get it. But I think he'll work in this context. Like, he's not, doesn't have terrible athleticism. He's not like super duper athletic, but like, it's not bad. He can shoot it from literally everywhere. I still have questions about his ability to finish at the rim at the next level. He was around like the 55-56% in the half court at Florida. It wasn't great. Defensively, I don't necessarily see it. He doesn't have a great frame on him. Like, he is 6'2 with, like, you know, 190, 200 pounds. Like, he's got, like, I think decent strength to him, but where it really hurts him is, like, I don't know if he's really laterally quick at all. He gets right. lost. Like, he's going to get pushed around. I still think by, like, other, like, ones and twos. And, I really have questions. It's like, I think teams are going to hunt him.
Yeah.
Just like they hunted Colin Sexton. Just like they hunted some of their, like, I don't know. I just have questions. I think him next to Collier is also a little bit weird because they're just two small guards, like small and sturdy guards.
Well, but they still have Keontae George.
Yeah. That too. But I think the upside here at 18 is, like, I think he's as good of a shooter as literally any of their guards in the backcourt right now.
He's got picture perfect form. On Twitter, you can at me at Digital Adele. I posted a picture of Walter Clayton Jr.'s jump shot from a profile, and it's picture perfect, dude. The triangle is perfect. Elbows in, it's flat. The ball high above his head, creating that point of the triangle, and his balance is fantastic. The thing that stands out to me about Walter Clayton Jr. is how well he gets on balance and how quickly he does it.
Right.
He just pops on balance. It reminds me of what I kept saying about McCain last year, is how he just pops on balance no matter where he's starting to shoot from. And that's what allows him to be able to get that ball off so quickly and so accurately. We're going to skip the Nets at 19, taking Nolan Troy. We already talked about them and their 700 guards. The Miami
They went from having no guards to... It's one of those things where it's like they went from having like zero ball handlers to like they just drafted the same player five different times or four different times, whatever. Just different varying sizes and whatnot, but
yeah,
it's the same duplicitous skill set just over and over and over again. They're like, guys, we need to quadruple down on this. Like,
that's right. We don't know if any of these guys are any good. We're going to take them all.
Right. You're going to hit on one of them. Maybe.
Now, considering all of this that we talked about, Damien at 8, Walter Clayton at 18, Nolan Troy at 19, the Miami Heat were gifted the number 8 player on my big board and the number 7 player on your big board. One Kasparis Jakachonis, affectionately KJ25 now for me. A walking potential triple-double. In his game against top 50 opponents, he had one game with 10 assists. He had four games with 10 rebounds. Junior, welcome to the show. He says, go Spurs. Yeah, we've talked a lot about Carter Bryant and Dylan Harper already. So if you want to zip back on the timeline on YouTube, you can hear us talk about them as well. I like what the Spurs are cooking. But back to Kasparis Jakachonis. He also had, like, what did I put into Discord? It was like 6 or 7 20-point games. First top 50 opponents. It was unreal. Unreal. Ryan said, hold on. Let me attach this directly into my veins. Cass, man, he had a lot of high turnover games after the wrist and forearm injury, but he's a guy that plays off of 2 feet when he gets in the paint, very crafty around the basket, big hands. So I think his handle is going to be fine. His finishing is going to be fine. His free throw rate was one of the highest in the country. Excellent free throw shooter, ability to take and make tough 3-point shots, ran the entire offense as a freshman and didn't get a lot of help, man. There were so many dropped passes, missed layups, air balls from three. Will Riley, who got drafted, didn't do anything the first half of the year. He was basically the show in Illinois. Could the Heat have asked for a better situation at 20?
Nope. Realistically, no.
No. Outside of them missing the play-in.
Well, yeah. I'm just, yeah. For this specific pick, no.
No, it's just an unbelievable value to get him at 20. The league messed up. Specifically, the Brooklyn Nets messed up.
Yeah.
Think about how this may play out in the future. They picked like 4 point guards and they passed on Kasper Šakaćonis, who could be the better out of all the, he's the best one out of all those guys they took.
Yeah.
Unbelievable failure by Bobby Marks.
Well, not Bobby Marks. Bobby Marks is at ESPN. Sean Marks.
Dude,
Bobby Marks used to be in the Brooklyn Nets front office. He's not.
Yeah, that's funny. That's true. My apologies, man. My brain's rattled. But thank you for correcting me. Sean Marks. Yeah. These are the same people that kept trying to tell me Noah Clowney's a great player. But anyway, the Utah Jazz traded with the Washington Wizards the aforementioned Will Riley. Brings more 3-point shooting to a team that desperately needed 3-point shooting. What does this mean for Corey Kispert?
Still theoretical, but the thing that I do like about Will the second half, like he's going to need to put weight on him, like first and foremost.
Oh my God.
Like he's going to need to put a lot of weight on him, but like he's not afraid of contact.
I don't know how good that is. I mean, it's good that he's not afraid of contact, but when you're skinny and not afraid of contact, it usually doesn't end up well.
Yeah, but like the thing with him that you could see inklings of in the second half of the season was like he does have combinations and whatnot. I mean, his handle's still pretty loose. It got better. He has combinations and stuff. Like he wants to get to the rim. The shooting again, that's more theoretical than practical right now. But like he's not afraid to like he's not afraid of finishing through contact, whether it's successful or unsuccessful is a completely different story.
Right.
And whether that will be at the next level. Other than that, it's like,
you know, my favorite attribute of Will Riley is besides the fact that he's 6'8".
What is it?
His cutting. He's actually a good cutter.
He is. That's true.
Yeah, it's probably his best attribute. In my opinion, he's a really good cutter. But yeah, I mean, I don't mind where they picked him at 21. I had him lower on my big board. I think there's a player here that I would have rather have had. There's a few players I would rather have had.
Sure.
But I'm not mad at it at 21. We already talked about the Nets also taking Drake Powell at 22. The Hawks got Asa Newell. This is a perfect fit for him in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Trey Young, Dyson Daniels, Zachary Risa-Shea. Kongwu. I think this is a really good pick for Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, man. Like he can catch anything. I don't know how much he's going to be used as a vertical spacer, but I'm sure he's going to be in a lot of ball screens with Trae Young.
Absolutely.
I think there's more playmaking there than what he, you know, what his assist numbers featured. I think he's incredibly mobile and he's switchable in that way. I wonder where they play him. Like, is he going to be playing 5 next to Okwongwu or 4 next to Okwongwu, or is he going to be playing 5? Might be a little bit of both.
I think he's going to be a backup 5 to start because he's really going to have to prove that shooting.
Sure. Yeah.
In order for him to do that. So I think maybe by the end of the season, he can start next to Okwongwu. But man, that's an athletic backcourt. or front court. I mean, that's an athletic front court. And when I say he's sudden, when he makes up his mind where he wants to go, he gets there quickly and he gets there with ferocity.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I really like that pick for the Atlanta Hawks, the Oklahoma City Thunder, because they don't have any roster spots left, traded Nick Clifford to the Sacramento Kings. The Kings are rebuilding. They need everything outside of center, really. So Nick Clifford, good landing spot. I don't know how that's going to work out with Keegan. Can he play next to Keegan?
I think so.
Yeah, because Keegan can play the four.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that then. I really like that a lot, actually. What are your thoughts on your favorite pick in the entire draft?
It's one of them. It's one of them. Yeah, the Thunder, unfortunately, just did not have the roster spots. That would have been petrifying to get him at 24 in just a vacuum, but...
Right.
The Kings were a team who was rumored to want to get back into the first round. I like this pick for them in the sense that, like, I think he can come in and like, impact the rotation right away.
Right.
I think their biggest need is a point guard. Like, they
desperately need a point guard.
They really
desperately.
You know, especially after trading Fox, like, they don't have that. I think he can coexist with LaVine.
They traded who?
Fox.
And then they also traded who? He was in the finals. Halliburton.
Oh, yeah.
They had Halliburton. Yeah. They traded him too.
Yeah. That one. Yeah. That one's too long ago for me to like remember it immediately.
I'm just saying, like, we're in search of a franchise point guard. Let's trade away two franchise point guards.
Right. Yeah. You're right. My brain just broke for a second. But the thing with him is, like, I think he can coexist with them because he's shown that he can play off ball at a high level.
Right.
The cutting, the off ball movement, the connective playmaking. I think he'll be like a solid defender. Like, yeah. I don't think he'll be as good as he was at Colorado State, but like, I think he'll be like a solid, like, above average defender right away.
Right.
You know, guarding twos and threes. So I know, in terms of, like, if Sacramento's looking for someone to impact the rotation, you know, day one, at kind of like a hybrid 2-3 spot, then yeah, Nick Clifford's a perfect fit there. At 20, you're getting him at 24. Like, you're not, you know, getting him at 15 or like there wasn't very many good players on the board, and so I think that perfect value for him.
Yeah, I think it's a good value. I would have took Jace Richardson. Because they need point guard play. Like, they need a point guard. I think I would have taken Jason Richardson, which the Orlando Magic did. Yep. And they need shooting in the worst way. He's only 6 foot, but he's got a really big wingspan. He can finish around the basket. He's crafty, explosive around the rim. He can play on ball, off ball. He'll get out of the way Apollo and Franz, so he doesn't have to gum up the works there. As you know, they run a pro-style offense at Michigan State. When I say pro style, I mean like 1990s pro style, where it's just like floppy in motion and center post-ups. So he knows how to play off ball and cut. I think he's going to work out really well there defensively also. I really like the value for Jace Richardson at 25 for the Orlando Magic.
100%. One of my favorite fits, and I think with him, like, he could be someone who plays off ball with Paolo and Franz.
Exactly.
He can be like a secondary playmaker. He can be, you know, he's autumn. He enters that building day one. He's one of their best shot makers. I know they traded for Desmond Bane. Right. He's one of their best, like, you know, 2 to 3 level scorers, however you want to classify him. Like, he, right. And for them, like, considering they got him where they did, I think they believe in his defense just because it's like, he's going to have to defend to get on the floor.
Yes. And
I think that's something that they're going to buy into. Like, he's small, but he's not going to be easy. He's not a small guard who's a slouch. Like, they're still going to hunt him.
Right.
But he's going to compete on that end of the floor.
I have no reservations about his defense. I think because of that wingspan and his hand size and his 1-2, I think he's going to be just fine. The Nets, we already talked about, drafted another point guard at 26 in Ben Seraf. 27, we didn't talk about much. That was Danny Wolf. We did talk about him a little bit. 7 foot, 250, handles like a guard, play makes, can rebound, block shots. So I like that pick actually the best out of all their picks. I like Danny Wolfe at 27 is the best value they could get.
I think Danny was highest on my board.
Right. Well, he wasn't the highest players on that my
they
board.
Picked, and they got him their last pick of the first round.
Was he the highest on my board? Now I got to go check because I think I had Seraph and Troy ahead of them, right?
Oh, wait. Yeah. Seraph was highest for me. Never mind.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Mine went 14 Seraph, 15 Troy, 16 Wolf. So it's great value where they got him. Great value. The Celtics did something very Celtics-like. They took a international prospect, Hugo Gonzalez, one of the best athletes in the draft, and they're going to let him develop for a year because Jason Tatum destroyed his Achilles and they are shedding salary like they're having a going out of business sale. Porzingis, Drew Holiday, bye-bye. Do you think they're done shedding salary or does Jaylen Brown go somewhere?
Oh no, I think they're done.
I think so too.
I think it'd be, I think it would take like a crazy package for them to shed, you know, whether it is Jaylen Brown or Derek White,
right,
or someone else. I don't know if how much I like this pick.
I mean, I like Hugo and Gonzalez more than you, but also no one's seen him play.
Well, that's kind of my point in the sense that, like, I was talking because there's other people who I work with who are, like, Celtics fans.
Right.
My thing to him is, like, he's awesome athletically. Again, what we've said this entire time, he just never played. And, like, I think even though he was on one of the best European teams – or I think he was on one of the best European teams, recall correctly.
Yeah, they have all ex-NBA players.
There's still going to be multiple years of development, and I just don't think it's a good process to burn a first-round pick on that. Even if it's a late first-rounder. It's just like, that's more of a guy who I feel comfortable with. Like, I don't think they're going to stash him, but if it's one of those things where I just feel more comfortable doing it with a second-round pick,
well,
and I think there were other things that they could have done. I mean, obviously, they had 28 and 32. They traded 32 for even more seconds, which, I mean, they got like three additional seconds for him. But that's something that I would have done at 32 instead of 28.
But here's what I'll say, though, Matt. On the other side of it, for a professional scouting organization, they've seen the practices. They've seen how he's played in those practices. They've talked to the coaches, the other players.
Yeah.
They know way more about him than we do.
And
that's why I think the NBA has a little bit more insight on what he's going to be than we do. So I'm not as mad at it at 28 because it's late first. If it was mid first, no, I'm not in on it. Late first, I always say if you have a guy and you identify him as your guy, you may have to reach five spots higher to make sure you get him. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. For sure. It's just there's just other guys that I would have taken. If I'm looking for, if I know I'm punting this year,
yeah,
there's just other guys that I would have taken that weren't him that I think would have fit better and done better. Not even right away, but like long term.
How do you feel about?
I'm not sold on him enough, I guess, long term. If he needs that much development.
But we don't know if he needs that much development. We just haven't been able to see it. He goes to the rim with authority. He's athletic. He blocks shots. He can get out in the passing lanes. There's stuff there.
Oh,
we just haven't been able to see it.
Not questioning that, but like,
yeah,
he's a very unseasoned product. That
for sure.
I don't know if Boston's only punting 1 year, I don't think I'm taking a player who I think needs more than just 1 year of development before I can actually play him.
Maybe they don't think he needs more than 1 year though. That could be their thinking.
They might be right, but I disagree with them if that's the case.
No, I get it. The Charlotte Hornets selected 29th overall, Liam McNeely out of Connecticut, a shooter who shot 33% from three. and is not very quick, his handle's not great, isn't beating anybody into the lane, to the basket, somehow drew a lot of fouls in college. Not really sure how that even happened. Good positional size. Kind of duplicitous of Con Knipple. He's like the Temu Con Knipple. How do you like this fit for the Charlotte Hornets?
He won't have the on-ball burden that he did at UConn, so maybe there's more shooting. But
that's basically all you got.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I got with Liam.
You know what's funny about this?
I think I had him around this range of my board.
But. Well, for everybody that watched our channel all year, he was projected to go higher. And we were like, there's no way this guy's a lottery pick. There's no way. Like, we kept, after we watched the tape, we both identified that.
Yeah.
And it's funny how works out come draft time. He gets selected 29th and not top 14.
They're throwing darts, man. I would have done this if I'm Boston over Hugo. No, okay.
I wouldn't have. Number 30.
I think I had Liam a few spots higher.
Now you're going to make me look up where I had Liam.
Hold on. Think I had Hugo in like the late 30s, and I think I had Liam in the early 30s.
Guess where I had Liam?
Where?
28th.
Oh, there you go. Almost right on the dot.
Number 30, the Clippers draft, which I think is a mistake. Jannik Niederhauser from Penn
State.
This
was one of my sneaky losers. Like, no one really talked about them as a loser at the draft, but this is sneaky losers, because it's just like, dude, as much as I hate watching him play,
or Kalkbrenner.
Not watching him play, but watching him move, Kalkbrenner's right there.
He's Raynaud, right there.
I like Raynaud more than I like Niederhauser. He's right there.
Niederhauser is so athletic, but he doesn't have the basketball IQ and awareness to use it right.
This is an upside swing, but
he's also really light, though. But he's also really light.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. He's not for me at 30. Second round, the Phoenix Suns traded up and got their man, Rashear Fleming, the sniper out of St. Joe's. 7'5" wingspan. 7'6". 7'6" wingspan. I have basketball IQ concerns, but the shooting is real. The athletic upside is real. What are your thoughts on, well, not his athletic testing was actually horrible. His vertical was bad, bad. I mean,
it was like 35, wasn't it?
No, hold on. I'll pull it up. You riffed a little bit about what you think about the fit in Phoenix. I'm going to pull it up right now.
You get a 3-and-D wing with that kind of length and that kind of disruption defensively who can shoot. You get him in the second round, fine with it. It's good value. Very great value. For
I like it. I like it a lot. All right.
I just hope they have a... I think the thing with him and some of these other guys is like you need a ball handler. You need a guy who can distribute and facilitate and make life a little bit easier for him. And I'm not necessarily sure that Devin Booker is that guy, nor Jalen Green. Or Bradley Beal, but conceptually, great value.
Rashear Fleming had a 32.5-inch max vert, tied with Eric Dixon.
I think you and I both said, or at least maybe I said, I think his athleticism in game just looks greater than it is at.
It's the 7'6 wingspan that also helps that. His standing vert was only 27 as well. It's pretty low, man. Pretty low. But he does have one of the fastest shuttle times at 2.72. Second fastest in the entire class. Are we going to do the full second round? Because we are over on time. We're like an hour and 6 minutes.
Do you want to do the second round next week?
Later this week. So Tuesday... We will continue this with the second round of the 2025 NBA Draft Recap. You can find me, Digital Adele, anywhere social media is found under that moniker. Matt, where can they find you following and get more of your work?
You can find me at let me just start that over because Jesus Christ Almighty. It's a Sunday. I'm off of it. At NPH_A24_ on Twitter. You can find me at hotoutoops.com. Give me a break. Free agency starts tomorrow. My brain's going all over the place. You can find me at VanettaSportsMedia.com, MountainWestConnection.com. In addition to playback.tv/5RSN and playback.tv/hoopsprofile. I just completely botched my Twitter at.
That's you okay, can, Matt.
We don't edit this show like
most. That's right.
I was just gonna say you can cut that out, but
that's right. We're gonna do the thing that they do on Always Sunny podcast where they say they're gonna cut it, and then they just they never cut it.
You're right. You know that. I think there's like cut a that, lot cut more that, cut that, cut that. We're starting that too. You can just cut that part.
That's right.
It's a Sunday. I'm off my game. I gotta step up for these matinee shows.
Come on, man. You're in prime time. But that's it for us today, guys. We'll see you next time.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it, it's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.